Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. I'm joined now by Steve Farese, of course, a well-known lawyer, also former Ole Miss basketball player who was teammates with Johnny Newman and who passed away earlier this week. Steve joins me now. How are you, Steve?
I'm fine, Jeff. How are you, sir?
I'm good. You were awfully gracious to join us. I know you've been working on memorial services and everything else, and a sad day to learn that Johnny Newman had passed. I don't think most people even... What we remember when he came back from his various international travels, but I believe his daughter was being treated at Le Bonheur, and then sort of I think people lost track of him again, and I didn't realize even that he was ill. So it came as a shock. I gather you did, and you'd been in touch with him here through his last months.
I have. He became ill in the late fall, and had of course a very serious and ended up to be fatal illness, but he was very private about those things, and that's perhaps one of the reasons you had not heard.
Yeah. How good was Johnny Newman?
As good as I've ever seen. He was 6'6". He had a long wingspan. He could handle the ball with anyone, and he was a lights-out shooter.
You said in the column that I wrote today, you said he was as good as anyone you'd played against, and you played against Maravich. Is that really he was as good as Maravich?
In my opinion, he was. And of course, you'll have people argue that, but it's really hard to compare them because Pete was more of a showman, and Johnny was concentrating on putting the ball in the basket.
You were a year. How were you? You were what year relative to Johnny? How many? He only played that 1 year, obviously, of varsity basketball at Ole Miss, right?
That's correct. At that time, you know, freshmen could not play varsity basketball. I was a senior, Johnny's sophomore, and only varsity year.
So there you were at Ole Miss when Johnny Newman arrives on campus. I'm sure you knew of him. Had you seen him play before, during his days in Memphis or not? As a high school kid, or is the first time you really saw him play when he showed up on campus?
I had not seen him play. Of course, I'd kept up with him in the news and mainly the commercial appeal, and back then the Press Cimeter kept up with him. But had one of our assistant coaches, who I knew very well from high school basketball, had seen him play, and I queried him about how good is this guy, and his eyes got big, and he said he's like something I've never seen.
So he shows up, and what's the reaction? How does that – obviously he plays for the freshman team first.
You know, we would at time have scrimmages with the freshmen, and, you know, it was just remarkable. And, of course, we compared him to Maravich as far as his ability was concerned. He was cocky. He was, cocky / confident. He was like a ghost as far as being on campus because he kind of came and went as he pleased.
Is it? But before I get to that part of it, like, you were there when he scored 62 one night, 60 another. Like, what were those like?
Well, he scored 63
against LSU. At
LSU, and that was back then. They had regional television. That was pretty much all you would see on the SEC was one game maybe a week, and it was, if I recall, it was an afternoon game in Baton Rouge, and he just went nuts. You know, I don't think George Patton could have stopped him that day.
And as a teammate, was the goal simply to feed Johnny? I mean, he took 50 shots against Kentucky. I read. Was this quote unquote within the flow of the offense, or was it just Johnny's show and you guys were there to feed him?
It was Johnny's show, and there wasn't any question about that. And the fact of the matter is that, you know, when you play with someone that good, it causes you to question your ability. And, you know, you would get in situations where maybe you would have a better shot than he had, but you would still give the ball up.
You mentioned that he came and went. Was it a disservice to Johnny that he was allowed to? I mean, in the column, you sort of sometimes he'd show up for practices. Sometimes he'd be late for practices. Didn't stay at the dorms. Came and went. Was ultimately that a disservice to him that he was allowed to do that?
I think so. I think any young man, you know, at that age, you're 18 years old, you know, full of vinegar and obviously a legend, at least in high school and one in the making. I think you need structure. I think anyone needs that. He did not have that. I think it would have complimented him had he had that.
You mentioned his ego and that, but you were his friend. Is that right? I mean, you were probably his best friend on the team. And I don't know, how did you view him? Because he wasn't all that popular among his teammates, and yet you were his friend. You saw things in him. What was that dynamic like?
Difficult, but I've always had this disease, I guess you would call it, of being for the underdog and thinking, and when I say that, the underdog socially, that I could change people. And it was, and I think it was also the fact that I was watching something that I knew was special and hoped to guide him a little bit.
It's amazing, you made the point, that he and Archie were on campus at the same time, which is startling to think about, because Archie was even a bigger star, of course, because it was football and he was Archie's from Mississippi, everything else. And here's Johnny, and they could not have been more different. Archie with his absolutely bone to the bone humility, I guess, is, did they know each other? Like, did they, were those the two big men? I guess Johnny wasn't even a big man on campus because he wasn't on campus, but they were the antithesis of each other, these two?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, Johnny and I always kidded him about it. Johnny was more of a northern kid, and that had that kind of city wise guy approach, and Archie was a country boy and grew up with more humility, and I think it was environmental.
Yeah, it's sort of, yeah. I mean, obviously he moved here from Ohio. He moved to Memphis from Ohio. His brother played on at what was then Memphis State, and so that's when he arrived here, and he was a star from the beginning. Okay, so he leaves after the 1 year of varsity play. And then has what I think he would say is an unsatisfying plays a bunch of years between the NBA and the ABA, and then coached everywhere. It was suggested to me, I think Kyle Vesey wrote this in a story, that yes, he was looking for other jobs and the next opportunity, but that he was also sort of one of the reasons he didn't come back to Memphis or Ole Miss much was because he hadn't become what he wanted and thought he was supposed to have become. There was a sense of I don't know, that he sort of exiled himself as much as anything. How did it come to pass that he spent so much time overseas?
Well, I think when he finally left the NBA, he was able to get coaching jobs overseas after he played a few years
yep.
overseas. And it just went from there. And, you know, sometimes life kind of grabs you by the neck and pulls you along. And I think that's what happened with him.
You reconnected with him, and I don't know if you've been connected with him all through this time or not, but it was actually after Kyle wrote that story about his about how he wanted to come back. His daughter was ill and needed treatment. She was ultimately treated at Le Bonheur, I believe. You reached out to him at that point and agreed to help? Is that how it came to pass?
Well, yes, it was something like that. But really, Johnny was afraid to come back. Johnny felt, like you said, that he had self-exiled and that the people of Memphis held that against him and the University of Mississippi held that against him. So he was really... serving penance for something that did not exist.
He had imagined that people had formed this opinion of him that he was something, and he was serving penance for it. And so he comes back, and he actually lived with you for how long?
I would say 4 or 5 months.
That's
and,
unbelievable.
And, those were times of... talking about what was and what was to be and how that I felt that everyone accepted him. And, you know, we're all flawed people. Nobody's perfect. Of course, he ends up going back to Ole Miss and getting his degree. And that's no easy task at that age.
Now, someone said at one point he was living with his wife and child in student housing at Ole Miss. Is that true?
And that's correct. And you know, it's kind of ironic. That's where I started out because I was married early on in college, and he was staying at the place that I had started.
No, that's fantastic.
Wow.
And so he goes back and he gets a degree. And the whole story feels a little like, and of course, you were featured in this as well in the piece that ESPN did on him, The Rebel, I think it was what they called, and it was very well done. So he comes back, he gets his degree, he has his moment in the Ole Miss Hall of Fame, and he's it feels like sort of the region wrapped their arms around him again, or at least that's from afar. Isn't this nice that Johnny's having these moments? But did he ever come to feel at peace with all of that? With the did the fact that he got his degree, did the fact that Ole Miss re-embraced him, did all of that give him some degree of contentment and peace with how his life had transpired?
Yes, to some degree. But I don't think Johnny was ever satisfied with his lot in life that was, of course, self-created. And he knew he could have done better. And the fact was, of course, he could have done better. But at that age, you know, there's certain things you can and can't do.
Right. Yeah, no, that must be hard. Because you envision this other path for yourself. I'm sure he did. But, I mean, we all, as you point out, we all are human. We all make mistakes. We all don't always make the right choices. You visited him several weeks ago, and you said his last words to you were?
To make sure that his wife and daughter were cared for.
And his daughter's just 14, I believe. Youngest daughter of his is 11. And I don't know if there's going to be any kind of a effort to support them that we might be able to publicize going forward. But they're obviously going to. I don't really know their circumstances. But do you think there will be any sort of education fund or anything else to set her to help? It's sort of interesting that in his final moments, this guy who was portrayed as a me guy all along, that his final moments with you, at least, were take care of my wife and daughter.
Right. You know, I want to say this, Jeff. When Johnny was in his prime, he was one of the most generous people I've ever seen. Hmm. In fact, I remember going to his home one time, and he had all these Superfly leather dusters, I called them, you know, that, which were apropos for the time.
Right.
And he said, you know, grab one. He had them in all different colors. And of course, the way I was raised, you didn't do that. And I thanked him, and I said, you know, no thank you. But I know a lot of people that took advantage of his generosity. He was a very generous soul. Also, another thing people don't realize about him, and it may seem counterintuitive, but he was very religious. So, you know, of all his faults, there were a lot of good things about Johnny, too.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. He really had a deep faith throughout all of this. And it does seem counterintuitive. You hear about the flashy cars. What kind of car did he drive when he was there at Ole Miss?
Well, of course, the answer would be, which week are you talking about?
But, oh, my goodness.
I know he had it at that time. He had a white Trans Am, and the rumor was that he drove past the athletic building one day, and this car also had, if I recall properly, and you know how the years fog things, that he had Johnny Rebel on one side and his number on the other side painted on the car. And the rumor was that's what caused Vault's, Coach Johnny Vault's, first heart attack.
there's not at this point any word on the memorial service. Is that right? Do we know when or?
Well, we're in the planning. Of course, this happened quickly, very quickly, faster than any of us envisioned. And the university is working on a memorial service as we speak. And I want to say this, too, that the university has really, really wrapped its arms around Johnny's family. And they are doing yeoman's work to try to get this memorial service, because some of Johnny's children are coming from Europe, and there's a time window in there to work with.
I got you. Well, we appreciate it, and thanks for the work that you are doing on this. Oh, totally unrelated question, Steve. It is going around the internet today. This is the question. Jobs that you have had. What in you know, did you ever work a paper boy? Like, growing up, before you became this distinguished lawyer, fighting for the underdog, what are jobs you held in life?
Oh, my gosh. I worked as a teenager in Michigan and Ohio as a brush clearer.
What? Oh, as a brush clearer.
Yeah, which was an eye-opener. It seems like that must have been planned by my parents. And I also sold real estate, I think, when I was 20 years old in Arkansas on a summer, you know, between college. And the rest of my work
was all legal.
You know, nobody's asked me that, Jeff, in a long time. So it's
I'm sorry to spring it on you. That's quite a selling real estate is quite a summer job in college.
Especially without a license.
Especially without a license.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, thank you for taking your time and pointing. I really do appreciate it, and for your thoughts on Johnny Newman.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thanks. That is Steve Farese, who's a tremendous lawyer and was a great teammate and friend to Johnny Newman. Johnny is – here's the question, Brad, is how do you deal with Johnny Newman isn't the first player who has squandered his gifts, right? Or not even squandered, not made the most of his gifts, right? That list that you could, is an endless list
yes.
of people who have not made the most of their gifts, right?
Yep.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, absolutely.
And we all, I think, have things that if we could do them over, we would do them over.
Yeah.
I certainly have things that if I could do over, I would do over. But when your gift is so incandescent as Johnny Newman's, when you were as good a basketball player as Pete Maravich, and you become sort of this, like, how do you handle it without, here's the interesting thing. Do you know what's happening this weekend?
What?
The Overton class of 1969.
Right.
That's his class, is having their 50th reunion this weekend.
Wild timing.
Isn't that wild?
It is.
So, like, that's the year they went to the
state. They played Melrose.
They played Melrose at the Mid-South Coliseum.
10,000 people.
10,000 people
packed.
Showed up, packed, all black Melrose, all white Overton.
White.
Melrose actually won that game. It was Larry Finch against Johnny Newman. It was, like, all of that. That class is having its 50th year reunion this weekend. And so Johnny Newman, who played such a big part in that. But here's the question. In the people who go to that reunion, how many of them had the talents that Johnny had?
None of them. None of them had. None of them.
I mean, some might have had some talent.
No, in other fields. Not as acclaimed.
But even then, I bet there was one who was as gifted in their field as Johnny was.
Well, no question.
But in terms of satisfaction with their life.
Right.
Of the people who go back to that reunion, I bet 95% of them are happier with how their life turned out. If you ask them, are you happy with how your life turned out?
Yeah.
I bet most who go back to that reunion will say yes.
Well,
You think?
Yes.
And I think Johnny would say no if he were still with us.
I think he would say no. That story sort of replays itself in many lives, especially with successful people in many chosen professions. Sports is the obvious one because we're on a sports station. But I had one question for you,
yes, sir.
I know you may not know the answer to this, but people listening might. And that is, you said his brother went to Memphis. Johnny Newman's brother went to Memphis, and he chose not to go to Memphis. He chose to go to Ole Miss. I wonder how it would have played out differently. And obviously, you know, you had Larry Finch going to Memphis, and you probably had some other things at Memphis that he wasn't interested, clearly, if he would have went to Memphis or what happened there. I don't know the backstory on that. I'm sure somebody listening does.
Well, two things. One is he could have gone. In my column today, I point out that I would talk to one of his high school teammates, and one day his high school teammates said, they were like, who's that old man in there with Johnny Newman? Is that his grandfather?
Mm-hmm.
And someone said, no, that's Adolph Rupp. And then another time they used to play pickup games at this girl's house near Old Colonial Golf Country Club. And the girl's mother, like, they played there all the time. The girl's mother would stick her head out and say, Johnny! John, Coach Wooden is on the phone.
Oh, my God.
And so he could have played
anywhere.
If he had gone to play for Coach Wooden, maybe he wouldn't have lasted a week.
Maybe his leadership could have helped him.
Maybe he would have changed.
Maybe. I think so. I think
so. In terms of why he didn't go to Memphis, John Virgos, in a comment to my story on the Daily Memphian, well, I'll tell you what I do. I will.
This can be our big
he
test.
Has this.
Good.
He has an explanation as to why he didn't play for Memphis.
Okay.
We will make that.
There you go.
The one story that you've been waiting for when we come.
It's that time again on 92.9. Jeff and Jeffrey have kept you hanging long enough. It is at long last the one story you've been waiting for.
Shout out to Jeffrey, by the way, wherever he may be. I think he's got a wedding.
He's got a wedding. Yeah, he's at that age where it's like wedding city.
Oh, yeah. Right. There's different. There's the graduation, high school graduation period.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the college graduation period. Followed quickly, often, by the wedding period.
Yes. The wedding period can be difficult.
Then the part that isn't public, but that usually happens next, is the get a dog period. Get a dog period.
Okay.
John's in that. That's where John is now.
Yeah, he's in a pre-kid period.
And then there is the have a kid period.
Yep.
And then you're going to reveal parties, which we didn't have.
gender reveal,
all that stuff.
How could I have forgotten?
And you're going to showers, and you're doing that. And then after about 5 years or 4 years, then there's the divorce period, right?
Yeah.
And then it's just the
how about the take your 95-year-old parents to Disney period?
And then there's the take your 95-year-old parents to Disney period as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jeffrey's in the wedding period, so he's not his own personal wedding. We'll let you know when that happens, but it is. He's at the going to the wedding period. Okay. The one story that you've been waiting for, you asked me why
Johnny Newman
did not go to Memphis. His brother played at Memphis.
I want to know this.
He was a star at Memphis.
Yes.
He actually did later play with Larry Finch on the Memphis Tams. And then, oddly enough, he was actually traded for Ronnie Robinson in the ABA. He was traded for Ronnie Robinson. And at one point, he had a good year under Hubie Brown in the ABA.
Mm-hmm.
His career was not what it should have been. But why did he not go to Memphis?
Right.
This is from John Virgos, who has commented on my column at the Daily Memphian about Johnny Newman. And this is what he says. There was a story going around. So this isn't gospel. There was a story going around on why Johnny Newman didn't play for Memphis. Johnny's older brother, Bob, played for Memphis in the early to mid-60s. He was a great player. However, when his playing days were over, he lacked a semester to graduate. When the school refused to pay for the last semester, he told them, quote, "I have a little brother who will be one of the greats. I promise you he will never play at Memphis State," end quote. Virgos adds, "I heard that story from many people. Too bad the university didn't have good sense. What a team we could have had with Larry, Ronnie, and Johnny."
And the biggest difference.
Does that sound real?
I do believe it. But you know what the biggest difference is 50 years later?
Now they would have paid him instantly.
50 years later, that bill would have gotten taken care of.
Absolutely.
It would have all been great. Everybody had been happy, except if you're Tubby Smith.
Did you see, by the way? Yeah, Tubby might have stood
up. Tubby would have blown the whole thing up.
Did you see, by the way, what
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.